Hey guys, and welcome to Spreading Lips Podcast. You are listening to Queen of the Universe, Luke Bradley.
And you are listening to Leatherface's next, Neil Jack Carlin. Queen of the Universe.
Well, it may as well have been me, like, with the twists and turns that this season has wrong.
In reference to UK versus the world, girl.
I mean, what a season of disappointments.
Mass. A fever dream, some might say.
It does feel like I just watched, what, 8 episodes of Who Now?
Yeah, exactly.
And then I have also just seen, I don't know if it's actually real or not, but I saw it was some Twitter account, but it seemed to be kind of legit. And it was like, May the 4th, we're getting Drag Race Superstar, and it's like 8 previous winners. So I'm like, so are we getting like, to me that sounds like we're getting like a holler sleigh, whatever that was called, where it's like no one's a winner, but you're gonna get to see 8 people that already won do stuff. You're like, okay,
just pure bogusness. Well, apparently the layout is that no one goes home, so there's 8 queens and there's like 6 episodes or something like that, and they're all in a competition, but no one be sent home, just like you earn points. It's like a point system, and then whoever's got the most points is like queen of the world, darling, queen of the world. Shite, basically. Nonsense.
How do they give out points, and how many points?
RuPaul does not want to do a job anymore. He's like, I turn up, I look pretty, and I sit. Like, he doesn't even judge anything anymore. And because there's so many other, like, alternative seasons to, like, a normal drag race, like, with, like, an all-star format, he's just like, carry on. You make the decisions. You decide who goes. I'll just sit here. My big, tall, skinny ass. And watch you all.
I'll send no one home at any point.
And spoiler alert to anyone obviously that hasn't watched UK versus the world, get with the times, but the person that won, I'm like, I'm so happy for them, of course, but I'm also just like, in the grand scheme of things, undeserving. Like, not undeserving, but totally not a winner. You know what I mean? Like, you look at her and you're like, you're not what a drag race winner used to be anyway, I don't think.
Yeah, it almost feels like, so anyone can win now.
Yeah, basically. It's just a matter of circumstance that I felt like she got lucky. But
it does, it kind of, with that sort of like all-stars format, it's very much like, so the queens that do really, really well and are bringing the looks can go home, and the ones who are just like, who are safe most episodes, then, but then towards the end or like in the final, can then win.
Yeah, it's not really, I mean, definitely talented. Oh, phone, shut up, you're embarrassed. Definitely talented, but I mean, when I think of winners, that's not who I will think of. I hope you all notice that I'm just like beating around the bush and not saying the name, because I never want to be that person. In case someone's like not watched it, but also, can you be gay and not have it spoiled on Instagram? I don't know.
So it's Blue Hydrangea, that one.
Oh, you bad, bitch. Oh, she bad.
Well, I'm sorry. By the time this comes out, it would have been, what, like, nearly another week? Like,
nearly a week, yeah.
You haven't, like, managed to... But I don't know if any of our listeners have actually watched it, so who knows? Yeah. Our listeners can be like, what the fuck are these two talking about?
A lot of them are American, to be fair, so...
And we could be like, get to the good stuff.
Get to the good stuff. Download WoW Presents Plus, or watch it online illegally for free. I don't judge your actions. Or do I? We have been very, very occupied girls over the past few weekends, haven't we? We have been having the most fun the past few weekends. We really have. So maybe we need to just like come back to reality and go, oh yeah, there's a podcast that needs
it. Yeah, we've like been on the rip for a while now. And to be fair, I don't see it slowing down anytime soon. All of a sudden just have this sort of like flourishing social life that I'm not used to, because obviously of the pandemic, and even before that I was a bit kind of like just in my own little world. So now I'm like, I have this like social life now, and I have to like work and then fit in social life, then fit in this, fit in the gym, fit in time to do, like, you know, me time. And
it's,
you know,
a lot.
There's only so many hours in the day.
Exactly. But that's the thing. Like, even after Christmas, I thought I was like, no, I'm going to slow down, save money and do this. And I'm like, no, I'm having far too much fun. You know, when it comes to the weekend, I'm having far too much fun. And that's the way it should be. But I mean, as you said, in the weekday, it's like doing your job and juggling a social life and doing this. And also me planning the short film and doing a part-time master's. I'm like, there's no time to breathe. I need air.
There's also Aaron's Drag Race. Like, what?
Oh, there's Aaron's Drag Race. Who, if you know, you know. And if you don't know, you ought to know. For you both. That was so.
I don't know.
I don't know. And even though we are, like, what this episode is based off, I think we're like, what, a month late?
No, but not a month. Like I'd say a good 2 weeks.
No, I mean, like, since the movie came out.
Yeah, a good 2 weeks.
2 weeks, really?
Yeah, well, I'd say so.
I think it's been ages. But I think,
yeah, because, you know, I can see on my notes, I wrote my notes on the 24th of February, and that was the second time I watched it, so.
Let me actually check when I last on mine, because I've watched it twice, and I was so tempted to watch it a third time, because it's kind of got that little bit of a essence about it that I could, like, give it another go. You know? It's like crack. So, and we all know crack is bad for you, but sometimes.
Crack is whack.
Crack. Knick knack, petty wick. So yeah, I made mine on the 21st. My last one's on the 21st, so this should be interesting. But to not be leaving you all hanging and wondering, what could those two really be talking about? We are here to finally discuss and delve into the 2022 reboot, or what is Scream calling it again? The requel, the 2022 requel of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Henny.
And for those of you that don't know, basically the town of, what was it called again? Like,
oh, it was like, I was going to say Harlem.
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 So we're back in the town of Harlem. To be fair, I mean, I don't know if they've ever called, like, named the town before. I'm sure this is the first time they ever named the town, right? Is it?
Well, the town was already named that.
Was it?
Yeah.
It felt very much like they were harping on that it was called Harlow. Oh, yeah, yeah. And I was like, are they trying to tell me that they've never, like, told us the name of this town before?
Just one of many annoying things that will come out of their mouths. Yeah,
many inconsistencies. So we're back in the town of Harlow. It seems to be pretty much a ghost town now. But this like online Instagram chef and his business partner have like bought the town essentially, and they go to the town to try and like get investors to buy buildings in the town, so they can like build this like big community. Some call it a cult. I mean, I'm not here to judge.
But I am here at the same time. Yeah.
Basically, shit happens. Leatherface's mom dies, and he's born again, Leatherface, and starts fucking up the people of Harlow once again. And here we are. That is essence, the shush.
As you can all tell, it's very thought provoking, deep, detailed, and not at all stupid slasher flick. But sometimes
psychological,
psychological. Depressing, really pulls at your heartstrings, has an amazing moral message about gun violence. I mean, a recipe for disaster, some might say, but I also have pretty shitty taste buds, so little dishes like this go down quite smoothly for me sometimes, you know.
And I'm with you, although I thought the opening was a bit cheesy. Like, they were doing this whole like true crime situation, like, here's what happened 40 years ago, boom boom, like this. And then and then it was like zoomed out and we're in like this little teeny weeny shop, and this like local shop, and this guy happens to be watching the documentary that lists like the town that he lives in, and then also just happens in like the middle of the shop behind like the counter just has like posters all up about what happened, and has like posters about Sally. I'm like, this is too convenient for like the story plot. Like it's a bit, it's
Yeah,
like a bit much,
it's
like
heavy exposition. It's very heavy on
100%.
of the ooh, here's Sally. Ooh, this is Leatherface. Ooh, this is happening. Don't get me wrong. I mean, in the grand scheme of the level of ridiculousness that this movie provides, that didn't even once cross my mind. And even though that's literally the first thing I seen, I was like, huh. I first thought it was like the Town That Dreaded Sundown remake started to get up. You know the way like the remake exists because the Town That Dreaded Sundown was actually like a movie. I don't know, the way it starts, I was like, huh. Like, is the Texas Chainsaw Massacre a movie? You know what I'm saying? I was like, is it a movie? Then like I quickly realized it was just a documentary and I was like, whew, glad we've passed that notion.
Yeah, and it felt like they were playing in on that because like trying to appease the like the younger generation that may not have seen the original films or any of them at all, and then just stumbled across this like Netflix film. It's like, oh, what's this? And then they kind of like have like a bit of a jump start into what happened before. But
Because it makes sense. Because I mean, Netflix, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre isn't on Netflix apart from this one, so there's going to be a lot of people who will just jump straight away into this one, and who might recognize who Leatherface is and not really put two and two together before watching this. So it's like, it does sort of what it needs to do. I mean, for this random gas station to be like, I don't know, like a museum and dedication to the Texas Chainsaw Massacre is a bit bizarre, yes. But I mean, as I said, in the grand scheme of bizarreness, I actually forgot about how slightly ridiculous that all was until you've reminded me. Thank you.
And I'd also like to know, like, how did these like 20 somethings buy a whole ass town?
You know,
Like,
it's like,
how cheap was the town? Like, and how successful was this? Then again, he was like driving some like space car. I was like, what
I
is
was
this
gonna say, he's
like?
like, they let us know that he's rich. Rich by the car he's driving, and then by the end it's like, ooh, this car can drive by itself, and I'm like, oh, there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, that's perfectly safe.
I couldn't work out, like, were they like Instagram chefs? Because like if you're Instagram chefs, how are you buying a town like Instagram? Like, it's, I mean, I know it's legit, but like, is it that legit? Like.
And I mean, the town looked like it was made out of cardboard. The town was not real. It was like the stage of like a musical. You know,
Was
like
like
when
the House of Wax, like, you know, that whole
but
town's like
like
so fake.
but as if someone done the House of Wax as a stage production. You know what I mean? And it's all like it's all front, like, but there was no, that was all cardboard. I'm sorry, Mama. They were not real buildings. I refuse to believe that was a real
Yeah, but it
town.
also kind of felt like, I don't know about you, it felt like what, because when obviously the little gang arrive in the town and they're like just trying to suss out what's going on, and then they see that there's a Confederate flag outside one of the buildings. They're like, oh, we'll go in there and like suss, like see what's wrong with that and like take that down. It felt like the house that they went into in the town, which was the orphanage, when they entered, I don't know, to me it seemed like it felt like they were trying to like make out like that was like the original house, or you know, like in the original and in the 2003 remake where they both where Sally, where they walk into the house and it's that shot of them walking the door. There's always a guy and a girl walking the door. It was giving me that. I was like, are you trying to like tell me this is that house, or are you trying to like do some sort of like parallels to that?
It's
I couldn't quite
like,
work it out because like it was, do you know what I mean?
yeah, not 100%. I feel like maybe it was a nod. I don't know, actually. Maybe like there's little things throughout it which I feel are nods to maybe the franchise. But then again, I watched an interview with the director, and there's a part that happened straight on where with the chainsaw uppercut, and they said they had done that, and someone in the crew pointed out that something exactly like that happens in one of the sequels, and they went, "Oh yeah, that was really great that we mirrored that." And I'm like, "You didn't even mean it though." So it defeats the purpose of saying, oh, we were, you know, tipping our hats off to Texas Chainsaw, The Next Generation, when I'm like, that's not true. It would just happen to be a coincidence. So anything, this like whole, you know, we're having an homage, I don't believe it. I feel like these fuckers winged it.
Because storyline wise, it's a bit sloppy, I'd say. Like, it's not like the most fleshed out story.
I
I mean,
don't get it.
I
So what do they mean? a group of, and what's that word they use? They describe themselves as idealistic, a group of idealistic young, like young adults, buy a town to sell the properties to start it. I don't get it. It's just,
and that,
like,
blonde girl, that blonde was like, oh, this will be perfect for my art space. And you're like, who's coming to this teeny weedy town to buy your artwork? Like,
where you
bought
you
a town in
it?
The middle of Texas. Like, I don't understand. Like, what? Like, I don't get it.
I don't get it. Where are you getting your food supplies? Those two people that are left in that town, where? How are they feeding themselves? They're in the middle of nowhere. There's about 10 buildings, max. Where are you getting your food supplies? Where are you getting these? Who is coming to visit this town? Please tell me. I don't get it.
I don't get it either. And then when, like, I forget the names, because, like, they're that forgettable, let's be honest. But let me pull it up.
There's the, who did you say the little one looked like again? What was her name?
So the little girl, so it's Melody. There's two sisters, Melody and Lila. Lila's the little girl, and she looks like someone that we used to work with. And then you have...
Don't name drop.
Then we have Dante, and we have Ruth as the Dante's... was it wife or fiancé, whichever?
Fiancé.
The first
thing that came out of her mouth was, I'm engaged. Yeah. I'm like, oh, no one cares.
Yeah, literally, no one cares. And so, yeah, so then we have, like, Dante and Melody. They go into the house and, like, poke around. And I don't know if you noticed it until, like, the second watch, because I didn't notice the second watch, but there's a scene where I think it's either Dante or Melody. It's in another room, and you see Leatherface right in the corner in the dark, like, sat on a chair. And then we go, I think it's Dante, and he goes to the window, and it pans back out again, and he's gone. And then Dante's, like, back in, like, trying to get the...
I didn't notice that the first time, but I noticed
that. No, I didn't either.
But even though, this is the thing. The thing is with this movie is, and it was the same with Texas Chainsaw 3D, my good, good girl. It's like, who do you want us to root for here? Leatherface or these teenagers? Because what you're handing us is probably four of the most annoying, like, characters I have maybe ever experienced. And then what's worse is they're accompanied by a busload of even more annoying people. And I'm thinking, if you want me to be on their side, you are barking up the wrong fucking tree. Because I think every one of them deserve to die. And I felt that the moment I laid eyes on them. And I felt that the last frame of the movie.
Oh, for me, like, I could not wait for Melody to, like, die. I was like, she's probably the, like, in the entire film, like, the most annoying character. And she just was like, she was so self-righteous, and then, but, like, and just possibly one, like, the worst of them all, because obviously, you know,
she was
Dante, like, they believe that they've got, like, deeds to all the house, but then when they go to this one house that the orphanage that where Leatherface lives with his mom, she's called Ginny.
Like the woman that, like, adopted him, and she had the orphanage
Mama. I thought she did a really good job at being creepy and gross and racist. She did a really good job at that.
She looked dry. You know, like, she hasn't moisturized her face. She looked really dry and crunchy, and I was like,
Someone get that girl
a glass of H2O.
Yeah. So when we meet her, and then they have all that bit of a tussle, and you know, they're adamant that they own the house, when actually turns out they don't, and that's what fucks them over. They don't actually own the house at all.
They're just self-righteous.
Yeah,
I don't know if, like, it's deliberate. So it makes me think, like, are these characters deliberately written to be this annoying? Like, are we supposed to root for them? Because there's this essence of this sort of Gen Z-ness about them all, you know, with the phone and, like, try anything and you'll be cancelled, bro, and all that.
Entitled. They're all very entitled.
Like, one half of me, as a point, you know, looking at it as a piece of writing and, like, a story structure, like, this is just absolutely dreadful. But the other part of me feels like there's a playfulness with, like, we're supposed to want to see these people get fucked up. Like, we all, like, deep down want, like, we're like, because you said that, I want your head to get sawed off. You know what I mean? It's a fine line.
Yeah, but I feel like they early on, like, position the Lila girl to be, like, the main final girl. And, you know, I thought it was a really weird choice to, like, push this whole, like, she was involved in a school shooting thing. It didn't make... I mean, if they were going to go with that, then, like, fully commit. But we get sort of, like, a reference. She talks about it, and then we get, like, two sort of, like, flashbacky... and like trippy moments where she's like
laying on the ground,
yeah, where it's her like PTSD like coming through again. But like, it, I don't know if it added anything really to her character or the story. It to me, it didn't. I don't know.
It's like, I don't think it did. I think it was a really poor, ugly, and cynical attempt at trying to add depth. Like, you know, what we see, even what the new Scream said, like with Halloween and everything, it's all now about, deep, like, deep messages, and it's we can no longer just have a slasher film and it be a slasher film. And I think Texas Chainsaw Massacre tried to do that, but at like a very short runtime of like 7 to 2 minutes, like before credits. I mean, you could have maybe pushed that a bit more, but also what sort of happens later on, it's like it completely contradicts itself, and it's a very hideous attempt at trying to, because their message is, you know, gun violence is wrong, but in case of emergency, always use a gun. You know what I mean? And it's a bit like, oof, I don't know.
I suppose because they're very much holier than thou, and then they like cracking out the guns left, right, center. Yeah. Like they'll happily do whatever they can.
The only way that you have to defeat them is you need to use a gun, and I just think it's a really terrible attempt at some sort of social commentary, because it did not work in the slightest.
Yeah, and then I also felt like the way they tried to weave in like the original movie, or even I actually don't know if it's just like a Halloween situation where the first movie it's just that and the rest don't matter or what. I don't
yeah,
know,
it is.
They didn't really explain. Is that what they're doing?
Kinda,
so
yeah.
So they're kind of the same thing. But even that was like weak. It was like they'd like sprinkle some things in, and then it was like they'd just forget a bunch of other stuff, or like not even like acknowledge it. And so it's a bit like confusing. So I'm like, well, you've taken a few things you like from the original and gone, we'll use that for this, but then we'll just forget the rest, or just like make it up, or just like have things that are completely contradictory. Yeah. And it didn't sit well with me. I don't know.
Because, I mean, not to jump way to the end, but there is a post-credit scene where Leatherface walks up to the house from the very first movie. And I'm thinking, if you're going to do this whole requel thing, there needs to be more of a tie-in to the original. If you're going to be that bold and wipe the slate clean, simply inserting Sally. But what feels like she's tacked on, like as if like the movie could exist without her. You could have changed her role into a policeman, and you could have had all the same sort of, you know, the same scenes. And I feel like it was such a poor attempt to make them connect, to have them exist in the same universe, when really what should have happened was this movie should have been a bit based around the first, you know, the house from the original.
Yeah.
Like, even Texas Chainsaw 3D done a better job of trying to be being a requel than this one did. This one's just like, we ignore all the other films, but we have no connection. The only thing we have is a guy who wears people's faces, and we call it a day.
And we're going to bring back Sally for literally no reason whatsoever, because like they just do her so dirty. And then, because basically they could have had that that Riker guy be, or Richter, whatever he's called, Riker, Richter.
Sexy mechanic.
They could have had him not be killed off as early on, and have him fill the role of Sally with the whole gun showdown situation,
or had like a police officer. So had one of the officers that we've seen at the start be like, oh my god, he's back, or have the guy who was at the gas station, because he hears the, you know, it could have been, all we needed was a truck and someone with a shotgun, and we could have had all the same effect. But it was just such a wasted attempt at trying to connect the both. And I think because the original actress, Marilyn, had died, us knowing it wasn't her as well just sort of detached me from her. I was like, I actually don't really care about this woman.
yeah. No, that's a good point. I mean, I think it's saving grace. It's definitely, it's kills, because like its kill scenes are brutal, and I thoroughly enjoyed each and every one. And that brings us to like the whole scene in the van where they're taking Ginny away because they pushed her too far. She's like collapsed, and then she dies in the arms of Leatherface, and he's like, it's all grief, and he's like, the only person that was keeping me like on track is now dead, so I'm gonna fuck up every single person I come across. And like when the whole thing with the hand where the cop like puts his hand and he breaks his hand, snaps it, and then kills him with his own bone. Like, her thought of that was like, all right, well done. Like, fair play.
This is right. I mean, first of all, that is probably one of my favorite death scenes. I think it's up there that I've ever seen. That's just so inventive. But the moment that happens, for me, it completely switches and my heart goes at like a bit pitta-patta, pitta-patta. And I am in it. And all I can say is once that scene happens, I have the most fun. And I know we've been sitting here sleeping, but the moment Leatherface kicks into action, I just think it becomes an absolute blast. And one of the reasons is because the death scenes are just so chaotic. It is chaos.
I mean, that whole van scene from start to finish is just, I think, one of the best in the film.
Yeah.
You know, when we get the crash and then poor Ruth is like stuck in the front seat, and then she's seeing Leatherface like literally cut out his mum's mm-hmm. face and then wear it like right behind her because he's like behind the van, and she's got no option to kind of like just watch it happen. And I like the misdirect of where is he around the van, because every time she looks out or like whatever, she can't see him, and then when he comes around, she she's a smart girl, she pretends to be like knocked out still, so that's, she's very smart then, and then obviously he kills the other police officer, and then sadly when she tries to escape, you think like she's gonna stick her head out, it's gonna be right there, and it's like no, he's directly behind you on the other side, and
he's behind you. I'm telling you, the whole thing is a pantomime. I know it
100%.
Yeah,
and I liked her death, it was really good. I liked that he was just like cutting her up, and then she had like the one tear down her face when she died. So, like,
I know
you're good at dying, girl. I'll give you that.
You're good at dying. You shed one tear for all two of your lines in the entire film. You know, you cried because you're in this movie just to get murdered. And even when he stabs her, it's like, that's what I love about it. Nothing simple. He could have just stabbed her, but he doesn't. He rips it across her gut. You know, it's always that little bit of everything nice. But what I want to know is how the fuck that mask, how his stepmom's face stays on his face.
I
did look at some of the prosthetic work from one of the artists on Instagram, which is always really fun if you follow like the makeup artists on Instagram, and he showed photos of the skin, so I think he like cuts down the skin and like pulls it around his ear.
Well, that's what I was about to say. Like, does, like, when he cuts it up like his mum's face, like, does he cut around like the ear? So it was like, there's like little
ear holes.
Yeah, so he can like just like loop it on his ear. But then I thought, well, I wonder how sticky like a face is. Like, can it literally just like stick on and stay on because of like, I don't know, because I don't really know what's inside of a body. Like, is it like cartilage, fat? What is it, like blood? Does that like just stick and stay on your face? I don't know.
I imagine it would be like sticky. It would be like a very thin layer of like blood and like flesh, fresh flesh. Try saying that three times. And I think if you put it on your face, it would probably just like, I don't know, but I was very, and like her, I don't know. He put like, once he put that face on, he looked like 30 times older. You know, and like,
And then when like, then we like when he pops up over like the cornfield, that was so creepy and so fun. I liked a lot of like the shots and like the,
it looked gorgeous. I think
the filters they sort of use, like the glows and the hues, like it did work really well. I liked that.
It does. Like, there's one thing I will give it, and it is very pleasing on the eyes. At the start as well, they use like this like electric blue for like some of, you know, when it comes up at the start, like so-and-so Netflix presents, and you know, and they used this electric blue, and I was thinking, this is a very bold choice. And of course, when you get to the bus scene, you know why. And then at the end credits are in this like electric blue, and I fucking loved it. It's so jarring, and it's so not what you would expect from this sort of movie, but like, it's like the movie's quite, I don't know, like colorful or something. It's very like
beyond
soaps, and I love it.
I think the whole thing is them taking like big swings and just seeing what pays off. And you know, some of it does and a lot of it doesn't. But you know, at least they're taking big enough swings to be like, we're just gonna try this. I'm gonna go balls to the wall and just see what happens. And it is really entertaining. The first time I watched it, I was like, I don't know, like, I don't know what this was. I don't know what I was expecting, but like, I don't know. But then the second time around, I'm like, I thoroughly enjoyed it the second time around. I think once you kind of get over like the whole thing of like, what the fuck was that I just watched? Mm-hmm. Like, these were all so annoying. And you get like the second time when you're like, but okay, I know what's up. I know the situation. So now I'm just going to enjoy it for what it is. And I can enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah, 100%. And I think when I first watched it, it was like watching UK versus the world. It's just like a fever dream. And I came away from it going, I don't know if I thought that was the worst thing I've ever seen or like a masterpiece. I was like, my brain couldn't soak in. And because it's so short, it's like once it happens, it's like bam, 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 bam. It's like pure chaos, high pace, high octave. Really, high octave, that's like a singing term, isn't it? That's like a high octave.
I mean, it works.
That's it. And it becomes like really relentless. And I can absolutely see how people will, and evidently do, despise this movie. But like, if you love thrills like we do, I just think it's a bit of slasher gold. I don't know.
I mean, yeah, I'm with you. When I couldn't make up my mind either. I was like, I genuinely don't know if I hated that or I loved it. I couldn't work it out because I was like, there's so much of it that I really, really enjoy. And a lot of it, like, I just don't. But like, it's entertaining. I'll give it that. Like, if nothing else, it's thoroughly entertaining. And every single one of the kill scenes are like
fire.
Yeah, exactly. Fire. 100%. 100%.
And I really like when they take a setting and they really utilize it. So it's when we have Melody, who's in the orphanage home. And like, you know, you don't just get like one scene. It's like she's in there and that's when it all sort of kicks off. We see Leatherface sort of get his groove and, you know, he has the whole scene with like hot, sexy Heck. And I just think like she just goes through and starts enduring all these like scenes, which I find very fun
Definitely. When we get back to the orphanage and we have the scene with again, it felt like the orphanage scene with the kitchen was either trying to copy, mirror, or tell me this was the same kitchen, because we get a kitchen scene in the original and in the remake, right? Yeah. I'm sure, there's a whole kitchen bit. And I was like, are they just trying to tell me, like, are they trying to, like, make this happen? That, like, this house is the house, but it's not. Mm-hmm. But I did really like the style they used with, like, Dante's death. It was like the kitchen door was swinging. So we saw, like, him, when it swung in, we saw a little tiny slither of, like, him being, like, thrown around. It swung out, swung back in, and he got, like, sliced. So we don't really know what happened to him. And then he falls out, like flops on the floor, is like, and then like we think he's dead, and then you know, Miss Thing Melody sees him, like runs back upstairs, and that whole thing in the whole thing in the wardrobe. I was like, so you're telling me he did not spot you once in that wardrobe? Exactly. Like, he's just so in the zone, trying to find his mum's dress, put it on, whatever he was trying to do. And then like he's there, sat at the little dressing table, like putting on makeup, like doing his, like he's getting beat for the guard. He's doing his, like, contouring the gloss. He's like nails here, hips, heels, man, nails here, hips, heels.
he's such a little cross dresser, and I love it. He, like, if there was a pride of Harlow, he would be there. He would be on one of the
should be on the flow.
The flow that comes back to him with chainsaw, like. He is such an LGBTQ plus queen, and you know, eat people or not, or wear people's face or not, he's still fierce. There's
Yeah,
so
I think
many things.
out of all like sort of like the major horror villains, I'd probably say that he is the queerest, right?
He's
Like, he's
the
got to be, I
queerest
think.
for
Yeah,
sure.
like she loves to dress up and like
She's
do a
personally a good
face.
she's personally a good gown. She knows, how to put on her blues and her eyeshadows, or, her
A
cheekbones,
little
her
kitten
lipstick.
heel.
Kitten Hale loves Kitten Hale. I don't know if you've ever seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the new generation. That's the one with Renee Zellweger and Matthew McConaughey in it. Leatherface goes like all out. Mama, he be like screeching like a woman. He has like womanly hair, like his mug is beat. Has he quite looked that fierce since? No, but he is 70, so we gotta give him a bit of, cut him a bit of slack.
Yeah, again, it's one of those things where like, so I was trying to work out the thing, like, how old is he supposed to be?
70.
So
He
if
don't
he's like
look it.
if he's a 70-year-old man, like how is he like skipping around and like able to like, I don't get it. How is he could take multiple hits, shots, bullets, drown a little bit, and then still come back to, slaying of the week. Like, I don't understand
It's
like what.
so he did. First of all, he was not a 70-year-old man. I don't care what anyone says. The actor was not 70 and did not look it. And like, even though we can watch Michael Myers sort of like get his fingers blown off, get shot in the shoulders, everyone attack him in a mob scene, there's an essence of us that can be like, I can believe it because we sort of know Michael Myers for that, but we don't know Leatherface to be one to take like shotgun shells to the back and. Like get shot loads of times and knifed and still be going at it. He's just, I don't know, he's not really that sort of, it's not his gig.
No,
I
it's
don't like
not.
it.
Like, they made it out like he like this 7 foot 70-year-old dude is just like isn't frail and was just like the life of the party and was just like doing his thing. And I was like, this is not 100% believable. So I
But
mean,
like also it's like out of all the sort of big dog horror franchises, the Texas like Leatherfaces is definitely one of the weaker ones. I mean,
yeah.
I love them still in the sense where I think he's great. I think he's like, top tier sort of horror villain, but the movies are really stupid. And a lot of them are like really, really bad. Like aside from maybe one or two, all of them are like trash. There's not really
Yeah, I
a
mean,
redeeming
I
quality.
pretty much like the original and the
The
remake.
remake.
They're probably like, I think originals for me always have like a special place in my heart because even if they're bad, I'm like, because they helped build what we have now, what we have, what we're gonna look forward to now. Like, they helped build a huge like genre. So you had to give them like respect for that. I also think like the Jessica Biel remake just did a really good job, in especially in that sort of like era, like early 2000s era. And then anything after that was just kind of like, eh, like, what are we
It's
doing?
like it's sort of the thing, isn't it, where even though they're all sort of bad, and as you said, like even if there is an original that's not really great, there's always something about it for why there's a reason that there's like a franchise. So even if they're not great, there's like an essence of like originality or something quite unique, especially for its time that we like. Aside from Hellraiser, we are not Hellraiser fans on this podcast. I don't fuck with Hellraiser, right? And if I see another post like whoever the main girl is, this final girl doesn't get enough credit, I'm like, yeah, deserved.
Because what did she do? Like,
But I mean, like, I'm
the only thing
personally
that I
don't
like
know.
about that film is Miss Thing with the red hair because she's fierce.
She's so fierce. I mean, I've watched three of them and I can't bring myself to do any more because there's not one that I like. So I'm
I
like,
mean, I can't really get past one, to be honest. Like, I watched in the first, I'm like, I'm not here. It's not my thing.
Yeah, because then I'm not doing it for myself. I'm doing it for all the horror fans out there. I'm enduring this for everyone else, not even for myself. So I throw it away. Whilst with Texas Chainsaw Massacre, I quite enjoy them. I love the remake, the original. The beginning's meh, watchable. And I really enjoy Texas Chainsaw 3D. And this one,
Oh, that's
I
your
actually,
fave.
yeah, it is. I love it. And but this one, I think, is of course better than that. But I actually think it's like, no, it's not better than the remake. I don't know, but
What you
it's
thought
in
this
the
was better than like the 2003
middle. I
remake?
don't know, probably not, no, but I just,
Come on
like
now, no,
there's a chaotic energy that I love. So when we see Dante's, so when we find Dante, actually even before then, when Miss Thing goes straight through them stairs.
I was confused because it looked like it looked like she got hit with something.
She did.
Whatever he was holding, but then like it wasn't. When she fell through the stairs, it was no longer visible. Like whatever she got hit with, like had just like vanished into thin air. Like there was no. It was an axe, right?
It was like a little sledgehammer. One of those little hammers he has. He threw.
Oh well, I thought it was an axe. I thought it was like a little axe. That's why I was confused because I was like, "Is she like? If she's been struck with an axe, where is the axe?"
Yeah. So when Sexy Hot Hick gets his ass beaten in the bedroom, which again is that kick to the leg.
Oh, anytime I see like a leg, it's just like a leg thing. Yeah, I don't.
I hate it. Bones breaking and shit. I don't like it. But when
I don't like it when you see like a leg like snap and you see the bones stick out. Like I hate it.
That's even the arm death in the van. That's why that one was so like, oh, amazing. But when his ass is on the ground, he gets his head pounded by this little sledgehammer, one that like Leatherface uses in the original sort of thing. So that's what he throws at her. And I mean, the stunts, mama, the stunts, gymnastics could never. They, if someone gets punched, they fly across like they go, baby, they take flight. So when he threw that hammer, she like so comedically flew through the air and like fell through the ground.
Which didn't make any sense because like surely she'd like fall like down the stairs, not through the stairs.
Yeah, she didn't even fall. So she leaped off the stairs and then through the ground, like at the bottom of the stairs. And like she's down there.
No, she falls through like this. No, she doesn't. The stair.
It hits her and she leaps back. And then so she doesn't go through the stairs. She goes through the wood at the like the normal floor. She goes through the floor.
See, I knew she goes back, but I thought she went like through the stairs.
That's what I mean. It's so dramatic. It's so extra how she is like flowing across the room. She goes through the stairs and not even like she's like, I'm good
she's
to go.
Getting right back up.
When's brunch? She's good to go.
Yeah. What I do like about that is like you finally see, because obviously that whole bit where she's under the stairs, and like I liked how she lets the sexy mechanic know that he's behind the door by like kicking the mirror. And I was like, you got one redeeming point there, Melody.
Even though Leatherface didn't see, he's looking there and he doesn't see the mirror move. You don't know there's someone under the bed.
You can't see the bitch under the bed. Like I don't know if I
probably just can't see past his mum's loose skin.
Probably, but then finally clicks that when what his mum says before, which is like stay out of my room, and you don't at first you don't really think of it. You're like she's probably just being like the typical like I'm a strict mother, like don't go in my room, you've got no business going in there. Then you realise no, the chainsaw's in the wall in her room.
I never noticed that.
Yeah, that's what that whole thing is. Like, I noticed that round like the second time round, or this was the first. Either way, I was like, oh, it makes sense now because he went to go into her room because she had someone put it in the wall to stop him from like killing people with the chainsaw again. And now she's dead. He's like, I'm not gonna listen to you anymore because like I'm gonna avenge your death, I suppose.
Yeah, she's like, whatever's happening, do not go sick on these people. Do not tear their asses up. And then once she died, he was like, you ain't the boss of me.
Yeah.
Mom's gone. She's skilled up.
We're going to party now. But yeah. So I like the fact that that Melody's like crawling around underneath the house and gets covered in shit. Like that. She gets covered in shit.
It's like a reverse Jaws scene. But as you said, the moment she gets covered in absolute shit, I'm like, yeah. Cover her more shit. But then what gets me is after, you know, her sister helps her. First of all, if I'm helping anyone, stranger, best friend, mother, the first thing I'm going to go, you smell like shit.
Yeah,
I don't care
if
someone's chasing it. And I'd be like, why do you smell like shit? Then she gets on the bus, walks through everyone, and not one person goes, does anyone smell shit? Smell shit?
Not a single person like even reacts to her, because she would have obviously smelled like actual human shit, which like is like which is different from like, I think you could almost like cow shit or like horse shit, like you could kind of like you can cope with it, you can like push through it, but like dog shit, human shit, you're like, that's a distinct smell. That it's just like, it's...
and it wasn't logs, it was sludge of shit.
It's like slop that
went all over her little Annie wig, her little cat wig, went all over her body.
It went in every like cork and cranny, like everywhere.
And she gets on this bus, and the bus ain't that big, first of all. Now, I know if I'm partying on a bus and this bitch smelling like shit walks past me, and first of all, I'm like, something's wrong with her. Can no one see that she's crying? Secondly, she smells like shit. So something's definitely wrong with her. But they're just like, who cares? Let's party on. Like, no. Skip her off.
Like, yeah, literally, like, she can stand outside. Like, but no, they were definitely trying to give us, like, Spice Bus vibes with that bus, because that bus... That like it was like bigger on the inside than it looked from the outside. From the outside, it looked like just a converted like school bus. I get it, but like I was being shown inside was like three different rooms in this bus. I'm like, how like they have like a curtained area, but they have like a big area before you get through the curtain area. Then when you get in the curtain area, there's a big huge like dance floor, dance space. Then they have like this big like ensuite bathroom and a bit like round the corner from there. It's like you're
then they
had
the master bedroom and then they had the kitchen.
They're giving me like Spice Bus vibes, like with a swing and a catwalk, the lot like upstairs, and downstairs.
And the lovely blue neon light. And as I said, when you know at the start you see like the font and you know Netflix present it was blue, I was like, why is this bunch blue? This doesn't make sense. Then when that bus scene came, to me is the best part of the whole movie. I loved it.
I will say this, like it was weird that like not one person managed to like get out, because like to be fair, like the people at the back of the room had enough time, because he wasn't like just like he wasn't going through them real fast, he was like he was taking his time. Mm-hmm. So a good one or two people at the back of the bus had more than enough time to like get through a window. And that poor like Catherine Trick, whatever she was called.
You loved her too, didn't you?
Well, I loved her, but like she didn't really. What I thought she was going to give from the start wasn't what she actually gave. So
I thought she was more than. She was going to be more than what she was.
Yeah, they were playing her out to be like a more of a character, and then she really wasn't. So she had like her spotlight on the bus, and I thought she was, I don't know, like it took her too long to try and get out the window. By the time she gets out the window, she's like sliced in half. You're like, well, that's what you get because you wasted so much time banging on a window. Like, who, like you know, no one's in the town.
Yeah,
they've all been there all day. Like, who are you like shouting for help for? Like, they know no one's there.
And it's like, if he's going around with a chainsaw and he's sawing everyone in half, you know, to start at the top and make your way down, you've got at least 5 seconds to leap over a chair and go around him. And if he tries to grab you by the neck while he's one-handed, then someone else can maybe. They were all like not being smart, and maybe like there's so many bodies flying. What I would have done. Drop and roll, fell to the ground, pretending I was hit, and crawled under chairs and crawled my ass past him because he's, you know, he's occupied cutting, slicing and dicing.
Yeah, and the girls took too long, like in that bathroom. Like, I don't know how you don't go in that bathroom and the first thing you do is not see that huge skylight that's above you. Like, you're looking around, like, no, get up there and leave. Like, they took like their sweet ass time.
Yeah, I mean, all the characters are extremely stupid. The only one that's maybe not that... She's dumb, but she's not as dumb as Lila. She's like, even though she was a dose of shit, it's like, I could cope with her because I found her... Like, what she sort of went through, as poor as it was, like, the execution, I quite like the fact that she was, like, sort of down to fuck this. I was like... She wants to smoke and she wants to hold the guns. And I was like, everyone else seems so like annoying and PG that she was sort of a wee bit I could deal with her. She wasn't being as dumb as the rest, I think.
Yeah, no, I get that. And then we finally have Miss Sally like come to town. And from the first time she opens her mouth, she's weird. She's got a really weird vibe about her. Like, she's a really weird, weird lady. I don't know if that's a trauma thing or what, but like, you kind of feel like she's a real badass. She's got like the cowboy hat, the jeans, the boots. She's got the little tiny top. She's like got the gray hair. She looks like she looks the bomb. Yep. She's got the gun in hand. You're like, oh, she's here to fuck some shit up. And she fucks up a couple car door windows and some sky. Like, she doesn't do anything. What does she do? She doesn't do anything. And then she's like,
She does that thing in the car, which is like so cheesy. And it's like, you know, when you're asking someone not to copy your homework, but they're like, they completely copy it anyway. And like, try not make this look like you're inspired by Laurie Strode. And she's like, he killed my friends 50 years ago. And 50 years later, I'm here to kill him. And I'm like, oh, here we go.
Oh yeah, every time she looks at that fucking photo, I'm like, we get it. You've got a photo of all your friends. Like, we know who you are, where you come from. Like, you don't, like, why are you looking at, like, no, it's just stop
looking at the Polaroid. We understand who you are, and we get why you're doing it. Yet, when she goes and meets him, oh, she's like, say my name. Say my name, bitch. What's my name, Bobby? Like in Scary Movie, once Sunday's writing Bobby, like, what's my name, Bobby? And he's like, yeah. What were you? And like, the fact that she lets him go on, and like, this is all your fault. You had every potential to blow his head off right there and then, but you didn't because you want him to say your name. I really don't think, if a cannibal, right, killed my friends, wore people's faces, strapped me to a chair, made me eat like fucking humans while they were eating me, you best believe I wouldn't even take a second to let him move. I would have had his head blown off his shoulders.
No, this problem. Is where I have like a massive problem with the writing, because whoever wrote Sally like 50, 40, however years later it is, just did the worst job they could ever do. It was like, how can we make this person like the most unlikable character, well, one of the most unlikable characters, and like just really like fuck over this whole legacy? Like, why bring her back to then just like make her do all this stupid stuff and be like, say my name, I want you to say my name, like say that, like you killed my friends, like, well then just get it out, kill him. Like, she had like prime opportunity to like put a bullet right between the eyeballs, mm-hmm. and then she like just lets him walk out, and you're like, well, now that's on you, because like what happens to you after that is all your fault.
Yeah. And even though then there's that bit where like Leatherface tries to break in the car, she doesn't let the two girls leave, and the whole scene with them in the car, Leatherface and Sally, I think that is love it. I think it's so good. You know, when he throws the chainsaw and it smashes the window, makes them crash, all of that I think plays out really like, oh, it's delicious. It's really like fun to watch.
Yeah. But
when he gets Sally and he puts that chainsaw through her gut, throws her over the air, like through the air, like an angel, and she's still alive. And I'm thinking, and
because he like when he like puts the chainsaw through her, lifts her up, he's sawing her for a good like couple of seconds, like where she's like, she's being ripped apart, and then just throws her. Yet she's still able to, like, she's, like, sit straight up and she's, like, hey, guys, I'm still here. Like, let me just, like, shoot you one more time. Like, do this, do that. And, like, I'm here to do, like, a couple more things before I die. And I was, like,
What are they doing here? Would have, like, cut through your spine. He would have sawn all your like, your stomach, your pancreas, your intestine, all would have been sawn in the middle, in half. And you're telling me that you have enough energy to pull a trigger on a shotgun? No. Refuse.
Yeah, and then she got what she deserved, because like they just ruined the whole point of her coming back. Because I was kind of excited for it. I was like, how is it going to be? And I hope it's not a complete copy of like Laurie Strode. And I'm glad it wasn't, because like what they did do was like. Choices.
It's like the one thing they tried to connect to the original one, they really, really fucked up. So I'm thinking, if they want to move forward with this, like have the setting be at the original house, which they should have done anyway, but leave any of that legacy shit behind, because how they treated Sally was an abomination. I'm just so glad that my favorite franchise isn't Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Like,
My
heart goes out to anyone who Sally is their favorite final girl and if Texas Chainsaw is their favorite horror movie, because the injustice and mistreatment is far too much, darling. Far too much.
Yeah, and I did actually quite like the final showdown, and I really liked the line where Lila's like, "Hey, leather fuck." I liked that. Like, that was cute.
It's definitely better than you're getting canceled, bro. No, try one more thing and you're getting cancelled, bro. I was like, kill him. Kill him right now. Get him between the eyes.
Just slice his head off right now, please. Like, ugh.
This is like a random one, but I don't know if you noticed, but like, see, by the time you get to the final showdown, I really like how menacing Leatherface looks. So at the start, you know, his little like face is like very clean and whatnot. But by the final showdown, he's absolutely drenched in blood. He looks like really scary. You know, his hair's all straggly. And I'm like, ooh, that's the sort of shit I like.
It's as if like he's got like a new like pep in his step. You'd think like the whole bus thing would have like really took out his energy and like, you know, pull like lifting up Sally in there might like, you know, bring his energy levels right down. But like that whole thing with him and Lila, like they're back and forth. Like he's got like a real pep in his step. He's like, and I was surprised that Leatherface was smart enough to do like I'm gonna like make it look like this thing is me when it's not. And like I'm gonna pop out. I'm like, I thought he was like a bit like of an inbred. So like how is he like that smart? Like
exactly. That's not the whole thing is like it was all the movies aren't just about Leatherface. It's about the Sawyers. It's the family as well. So this is like the first one really kind of where it's just him. So to have him like be strategic like that, I do find very strange. To have him like go around that quickly, I do find strange. However, I really love his inventiveness of how to utilize a chainsaw. So in the final showdown, he throws it across the ground and it gets Lila's ankles. He uses it to smash a window so they'll crash the car. I'm like, he uses it to protect himself from bullets. I'm like, out of all the movies, this Leatherface really knows how to use a chainsaw. And he does it the best, personally.
Yeah, and I always thought, like, to me, like, I perceived Leatherface was more kind of less, he was less of a planner and more of like a kill opportunity. It's like, oh, this girl's right in front of me. Let me slice her up. Not like, oh, let me go and do this and do this. And
Mama I'll get them to
come
eat.
Here and come back. Yeah, it was like more that than like, than it's more convenient, like the way how he killed was that than like, I'm going to have a little plan and like do like this and this. And so I didn't, like that took me out of him. I was like, so who's this new bitch? Like, cause she's got some smarts. She never used to have like, you know, 70 years ago, however old she is. And then I really don't, like, he should have died, right?
Oh, yeah.
And we agreed, like, the way, like he's shot twice, and then he's, like, chainsawed a bit in the chin.
Yeah.
And then he's stabbed. And then he's, like, underwater for, like, longer than drown. Well, how long does it take for people to drown? Like, a minute?
Well, the chainsaw to the chin, I don't think would kill many people. I don't know why I've never had it done to me. But it hit him. So you would have like a neck graze. It would fucking hurt, but he should have died from everything else. How must thing that an up like a WWE, like a TLC match, you like Extreme Rules match in wrestling thought that move was going to just kill him. I'm like, you deserve to have your ass dragged.
Yeah. Like you know, why would you not have like, I would have like, got it into him. Yeah. Like really giving it some welling. Yeah. Like, she just like
stomach and like, pulled out, I don't know, was it a trigger? Get
yeah,
little
the, yeah, it,
come out. Oh, yeah. I'd have given stacks of habits.
Yeah. Or like cut off a leg so he can't like get up and do stuff, like something like.
Start like taking chunks off him. Start like dissecting him, you know, big box, little box, cardboard box. Start like chopping bits off. You don't just uppercut him and like leave him to drown in this weirdly convenient, like, I don't know, DIY pool.
Like, it was
like
bizarre.
How deep is this pool? It's a building, like, it shouldn't really be that deep. It's like a theater, wasn't it? It was like a cinema.
Yeah, it was, but it was bizarre. Yeah. And then So she got what she deserved when they get, when they finally like leave and like they're doing the whole like we're gonna debrief yeah. on the day, and then they get into the space car, and then
space car.
And then she's and then you know, Melody, good on her, she gets literally pulls her out, smashes the car, pulls her out, and just slices her head off, and you're like, well, you know, she deserved it.
I think like the first time I watched that, I was screaming because it was like justice was served, and it was so shocking. But like we sort of knew it was coming. But what gets me is, you know, they're in the car like smiling, like, ah, what a day, eh? Like, oh, we've been through a lot, haven't we, sis? And then like, oh, automate. And then her ass gets her head chopped off and it's over. And then I was like, I'm a fever dream.
I mean, one idiot, I'd be like, get me out of this town as soon as possible. Like, why are they like taking like the slowest car ride? Like, I'd be like, nah, let me zoom out of here quick.
And you know, like when this movie was out like for test screening, so it was like last year, I had watched one of those videos where someone was like, this movie is terrible, all the people hated it. There was a scene where like the sister makes it at the end and her sister dragged her to the car, but the car's automated and she can't help her. And there was like the bit on the bus and it was like everyone's filming it. And I read that and I honestly was like, this sounds like it's going to be the worst thing ever. But I think like the way that was directed and done, I actually like thoroughly enjoyed it.
When Melody got her head chopped off, it felt like justice was served, because it never really felt like he was after Lila, because she didn't really do anything wrong. She was just like there. So he would have killed her because she was just there. And to be fair, he could have run up to the car and snatched her out of it.
Yeah, but he chose to snatch Annie.
But he left her. No, even after even after he like killed Annie, he could have run up to the car and got out, because like the car's going like a mile an hour. Like it's not like.
But he's like, not, you know what? I'm going to chop your sister's head off. And then I'm going to swing it around like a bag of cats. I was like, oh, this is so bizarre.
But well, he's proud of what he's just done. So.
Of course, he's like swinging that bitch's fucking weave. I'm like, that's what I mean. By the time it ends, I'm like, whew, I need some air. I need to take a breather. Because that was like, Texas Chainsaw Massacre was doing the most. At all, yeah. It was doing the most.
100%. So give me your like overall then.
Ooh, as I said, doing the absolute most. But when your script is that terrible and the characters are that bad, what actually saved this film for me was like a very brisk, quick pace. Mm-hmm. Some great chase scenes. Some like probably the best death scenes like in a slasher film in like recent memory. Like they're like so good. And I just think it is so much fun as long as you're the type of person who can switch their brain off. So for me, I will give Texas Chainsaw Massacre 6 acronyms out of 10. Hit me up, bitch.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Like the death scene to me is what really saves the film and like stands out. Like that they all make up for the whole film. I'm with you. I like the fact that it's really fast paced. There's no sort of like dragging out of the story to start with. We get deaths pretty much in the first, what, like half an hour, like maybe even like less, first 20 minutes, something like that. And then after that, after the first death, it's just like next level. And second time around, and then a third and fourth, because I will watch this again. I had a lot of fun watching it. And it's really fun. And it's a fun film. And look, I don't know if there will be more, but I will watch another one. I mean,
I want another one.
I didn't think after the first view, I didn't think I would watch another one, but I would watch whatever they give me. Like
I'll watch this one a third and a fourth and a fifth time. Just
I'm with you. And I also gave it a 6 out of 10. Like it was good.
If you're the sort of person who can just switch their brain off and enjoy this level of chaos, then you're very much on our boat. And if a slasher movie is fun, then I'm game. Bring on more.
No, I'm with you. Yeah. But we finally got it off our chests. I mean, we've been wanting to get it out for so long, and now...
But we've just been having far too much fun. And
being gals like, about town.
Yeah. good times.
Yeah, please go and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at
Spelling Gods Pod.
Follow us on Facebook at
Spelling Gods Podcast.
Send us a little email at
Spelling Gods Podcast at outlook.com.
And then, you know, do all that subscribing, rating, reviewing, liking.
Like, review, all other things. Send us a message. Get in touch. We love.
We love.
Love it.
And then until next time.
Deuces.
Bye.